Let's open with a word of prayer, and let's offer a word of prayer for our speaker, Brother Will Fultz. I hope you came armed with your Bibles, because that's how he gives his study. And let's pray for our prodigals and our friends list. And then, of course, let's continue to pray for revival and reformation in our church. Welcome, Sister Clue. Happy Sabbath. So do we have someone that would like to pray at this time? Please start six your line. And if not, I'll pray. Okay, I'll pray. Let's bow our heads. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight with thanksgiving, not only for the Sabbath, Lord, but for the many blessings you've given us throughout the day. We just are so blessed, Lord, that we could come together on this prayer line to worship you, to study your word, to learn more and draw closer to you each and every day. Please be with our speaker tonight, Brother Will Fultz. What a faithful servant, Lord, he is of yours. I ask that you bless him in a special way. Let the words that he shares with us tonight be yours. Let the message be yours, Lord, and let us clear our minds and hearts and be open to the message we receive, Lord, through Brother Fultz. So please bless him tonight as he speaks on our prayer line. We'd also like to lift up our prodigals and friends with us, Lord. You know what a burden we have for them. We just ask that you continue to send your holy angels and Holy Spirit to convict them, Lord, and bring them home before your soon return. We also want to continue to ask for revival and reformation in our church, in ourselves and in our hearts, Lord, that we will be changed before your return. We will be ready, Lord, because we know time is short. Lord, we just thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers. We ask you to continue to pray for those that have asked for special prayer this morning and the young man who had surgery at 1 o'clock this afternoon. We'll continue to pray for him. I believe Orpha asked us to pray for him. And we will continue to keep him in prayer until we get a praise report on the outcome of that surgery today. We ask you to continue to lift up the shoulders and Lord, they're so faithful and so strong in faith, but yes, that you be with them in a special way. Lord, thank you so much for all that you continue to do for us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Brother Fultz, the time is yours.
Amen. Thank you for that prayer, Sister Joanne. And I want to wish everyone a very happy Sabbath. Thank you for coming on the prayer line again. And I encourage everyone to turn with me in the Bible, too. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, if you do not know the verse, in that prayer, she said that Jesus is coming very soon. And in fact, Jesus himself has told us that he's coming very soon. In fact, in Revelation 22, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to his works." And in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5, it is our theme verse that we have been studying every 2 weeks. And the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And we've been asking the question, what was the mind of Christ like? Well, perfect, of course. Now, a perfect mind does not mean that you are never tempted, for Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was completely 100% without sin. His mind was pure. But is it possible for us? Can we have a perfect mind? I'd like someone actually to read the book of Genesis. I know you went to Philippians, but I'd like to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 17, as we discover, is it possible for us to have a perfect mind? Can we be perfect in character? I'd like someone to read the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 1, especially if you have the King James Version. If someone has the King James Version of Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, I encourage you to star 6 your line and please read that verse.
Brother Fultz, will the new King James Version work or just the King James Version?
I actually like the King James more, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But I'm using the new King James, but I like the King James. Does someone have the King James Version of this verse?
I can read it. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
You know, right there, God says something tremendous. He says to Abram, who later became Abraham, he says, be thou perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God would never ask you to be something that he himself was incapable of making you into. And so to have the mind of Christ with man, such is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And we have discovered many times throughout the scriptures that we can have the mind of Christ. Think about it, a final generation in character, just like the lovely Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thought? A final people who are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And many times in the past, we have asked the question, how can we have the mind of Christ? You know, we know that we must not be overcome by evil, but rather we are to overcome evil with good. And we have been studying in the past what those good things are and how to avoid those evil pitfalls. But today, we must tackle a very serious topic. In fact, Jesus warned us that many people will be lost because they did not understand what we are going to discuss today. You know, a little more than a week ago, I actually was traveling from the airport, and I had an interesting experience. And, you know, in order to go where you want to go today on an airport, to get through that security line, you have to take off your shoes. And if those security guards so desire, they can even search all your belongings. They can open up your suitcases and search your pockets and things of that nature. And in fact, no matter what airport you go to, there is a whole group of TSA agents whose only job is to search and protect. In fact, they don't take a Sabbath. 7 days a week, every day out of the year, they are constantly on guard. In fact, we believe the danger is so great that 10 years after our last major attack here in the United States, these agents, these men and women, are still searching. And the reason they are on guard is because the United States of America believes that terrorism is still a great danger. You know, today we must ask a question. What is the greatest spiritual danger that Seventh-day Adventists face in our generation? What is the greatest pitfall that we must avoid? What do you think the greatest danger is in our time? Do you think it is the beast of Revelation 13? Perhaps false prophets, or maybe even Satan himself. Now, all these things are very dangerous. In fact, Jesus has warned us of false prophets. He's warned us of the beast. He's warned us of the attacks of Satan. He's warned us of all these things to protect us. But none of these things are the greatest danger that we face today. In fact, today we want to see from the Bible what the greatest danger that we face is. The greatest danger that can make many people, many Christians, many followers of Christ lost. In fact, let's find, based on two verses, what that greatest danger is. I encourage you to first go to the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 11, as we refresh our minds on a familiar verse. I'd like someone to read Revelation, chapter 22, verse 11.
Revelation 22:11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still.
All right, so we know this verse. Most of us know this verse, perhaps even by heart already, right? We know that Jesus very well likely may utter these words while we are still alive on this planet. And we know already that in the last days there will be only two classes of people, some righteous some unjust, some holy, and some filthy. But let's go a little bit deeper into this verse today, because we understand that, yes, it's true that some people, they enjoy the pleasures of sin, and they choose to live unrighteously in sin. They choose to live a life filled with the filthiness of sin. But, you know, if you ask the average person on the street, do you desire to live a pure life and go to heaven? Or would you rather live a life filled with the filthy sins and be lost? You know, they're going to tell you that they want to go to heaven, right? Isn't that what we all want? And so let's discover from the Bible why many are content with being filthy in the last days. Let's discover what the greatest danger in our time is. I'd like us to go to the book of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 12, as we discover why so many people in the last days will be lost. Proverbs chapter 30, and I'd like someone to read verse 12.
Proverbs 30:12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness.
And so right here, the book of Proverbs tells us about a generation who is pure in their own eyes, yet they are not washed from their filthiness. You know, Jesus said of that last generation, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And here, the Bible tells us more insight into that verse that the problem with these individuals is that they are pure in their own eyes, yet they are not washed from their own filthiness. You know, the saddest thing, friends, is that some of those people who will be lost in the last days do not know that they are filthy until Jesus comes. In fact, Jesus warned us that on that day many will say to him, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and worked many wonders in your name? And then with tears in his eyes, Jesus will say, I never knew you. You know, friends, it is only when those people see Jesus in the clouds that they notice their own sin. And then they say to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We've been asking the question, what is the greatest danger that we face? And you know, the Spirit of Prophecy gives us the answer in the book Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 214, when it says, these are perilous times for the Church of God and the greatest danger now is that of self-deception. She says, individuals professing to believe the truth are blind to their own danger and wrongs. They reach the standard of piety which has been set up by their friends and themselves. They are fellowshipped by their brethren and are satisfied, while they entirely fail to reach the gospel standard set up by our own divine Lord. If they regard iniquity in their hearts, the Lord will not hear them. But with many it is not only regarded in the heart, but openly carried out in the life. Yet in many cases, the wrongdoers receive no rebuke. You see, friends, the greatest danger in our time is not even Satan. It's not even the beast. It's not even false prophets, even though all those things are dangerous. The greatest danger is that you are thinking that you are right with God, when in fact we are naked and poor, wretched and blind. You know, brothers and sisters, Jesus does not want any of us to be weighed in the scales and found wanting. And you see, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9, tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, based on that verse, if the heart is deceitful above all things, how then can we see our own sins? How then can we avoid the greatest danger of self-deception in the last days? Let's find out what the first step is to avoid the danger of self-deception in the last days, because our own hearts can lie to us. I'd like us to go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. And I'd like someone to read 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 5, as we discover the first step, but not the only step, the first step of becoming not self-deceived. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5.
Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate.
All right, so the first step that we need to do is examine ourselves. Perhaps we know that step before. We are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. But how? How are we to examine ourselves? Have you ever taken an examination before?
Mm-hmm.
Sure you have. And what is on an examination? Well, questions, isn't that right? If you take an examination, there are questions on that test, isn't that right? And since we need to examine ourselves, what questions do we need to ask? Let's find an example in the Bible on how we shall examine ourselves. For the Bible gives us a wonderful example. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 2, as we discover what questions we need to ask ourselves. I'd like someone to read the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 21 to 24.
Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. Is that it?
Yes, that's right there. Okay. So, you know, you hear those questions, and those are heart-searching questions, aren't they, friends? They say, look, you who say do not commit adultery, do you look on things at the internet? You who say do not steal, do you steal from your employer? He's asking these heart-searching questions, and what he's really looking at, if you notice, he's looking at the law of God. Isn't that right? He's asking questions about the Ten Commandments. About thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, you shall have no other gods before me. He is comparing himself with the law of God. In fact, I encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 119. We're going to be staying in Psalms for a while now. Psalm 119, and I'd like someone to read verse 172 as we discover what we are to first to look to. Psalm 119, verse 172, what is our standard of righteousness? Because if you ask many people, they have a different standard of righteousness than other people. In fact, the world today, many people, they set up their own standard of righteousness, but here the Bible tells us what the true standard of righteousness is. And I'd like someone to read Psalm chapter 119, verse 172.
My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness.
So God's commandments, his law, is the standard of righteousness. It is the standard of right doing. And it is by this law that we will be judged. You know, we know that we need to look to the law of God. That is one of our first steps. We need to examine ourselves by asking ourselves, are we walking according to the law of God? But, you know, if you ask yourself, what sins are in your life? Your heart, because it is deceitful above all things, could lie. Isn't that right? We could be like the Pharisee who prayed, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like other men. Yet Jesus said that he was like other men. He went away and he was not justified. You know, we think of this great scenario of self-deception, which the spirit of prophecy in the Bible has warned us about. And we know that we need to examine ourselves. We know we need to look to the law of God. But, you know, there's an additional thing that is very helpful that the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that we need to do. You know, have you ever traveled and found something in your travel bag that you left in your bag from a previous trip? You know, maybe an old piece of airline ticket or something like that you forgot to clean out or that you missed. You know, if you leave things in your bag and then you go on a trip to the airport, it could be a dangerous thing, because if you get in that line and then you forget that maybe you had something dangerous in your bag, if you go into that airport and you forget that perhaps you have a pair of scissors or a pocket knife in your bag, and then you put it through that examination, you could be in big trouble, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
You need to examine yourself and your belongings before you get in that examination line. You need to make sure that everything is clean. You know, likewise, God's people are going to go through an investigative judgment. In fact, the time is now. And we are not allowed to take anything dangerous to heaven. And the only thing that is dangerous is sin. And in order to get where we want to go, brothers and sisters, we need to take off our shoes and humble ourselves and allow Jesus to examine us. In fact, let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 19 now, as we learn yet another step of self-examination, because our own hearts could lie to us. Even if we look to the law of God, we might even lie to ourselves. But the book of Psalms chapter 19 gives us some extra insight on how we can see and be ready for the soon coming crisis. I'd like someone to read the book of Psalm chapter 19, verse 12-14.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Now he starts out by asking the question, who can understand his errors? Then he pleads with the Lord, saying, cleanse me from my secret faults. You know, another step, of course, when we examine ourselves, when we look to the law of God, the next step is to pray and say, Lord, show me my own faults. You know, the book Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 163 says, do not neglect secret prayer, for it is the soul of religion. With earnest, fervent prayer, plead for purity of soul. Plead as earnestly, as eagerly, as you would for your mortal life, were it at stake. She says, remain before God until unutterable longings are begotten within you for salvation, and the sweet evidence is obtained of pardon sin. You know, she's talking about a prayer life that is similar to that of Jacob during the time of Jacob's trouble. A prayer life that will cling to God and say, Lord, please search my hearts, cleanse me of my errors. Show me thy will, O Lord. You know, I encourage you to go again to the Psalm, Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. As we examine ourselves, something is going to happen, brothers and sisters, but it is going to be a good thing. Psalm chapter 34 tells us why it is a good thing, even though we may be broken at the cross. Psalm chapter 34 tells us why it's a good thing, friends. Even though afflicting our souls does not sound like a good thing, it is a good thing. I'd like someone to read Psalm chapter 34, verse 18.
Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
You know, here it says the Lord is nigh, or is near to those who have a broken heart. You know, when we look to the law of God, when we see our sins, our hearts are going to be broken, friends. But God saves such as have a contrite spirit. And the very next verse says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. You know, Jesus has promised to take care of us, friends. When we look to the law of God and we compare ourselves, this is one method of examination. We need to pray and ask God to convict us and show us our sins, for our own hearts are so desperately wicked that we need the Lord to convict our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But there is one last thing that we need to look to. In fact, if we don't look to this then all these other things, it might lead us down to a spiral of depression, friends. But there is one last thing that we need to look to. And the book of Hebrews chapter 12 shows us what that one last thing is. Let's go there. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, as we finish the steps of self-examination, how we cannot be deceived by our own hearts in the last days. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, gives us the answer when it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, friends, the last thing we need to look to is to look to Jesus. By looking unto Jesus, you will see your sins. You will see your own imperfections. But you will also see a wonderful Savior. By beholding his unmatched love for you, you will be changed. You know, the book Steps to Christ, page 55 and also 65, tells us that as you draw near to Jesus with confession and repentance, he will draw near to you with mercy and forgiveness. And that the closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes. For your vision will be clearer, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. She says, this is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power. Amen. That the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. She says, no deep-seated love for Jesus can dwell in the heart that does not realize its own sinfulness. The soul that is transformed by the grace of Christ will admire his divine character. But if we do not see our own moral deformity, it is unmistakable evidence that we have not had a view of the beauty and excellence of Christ. She continues to say, the less we see to esteem in ourselves, the more we shall see to esteem in the infinite purity and loveliness of our Savior. She says, a view of our sinfulness drives us to him who can pardon. And when the soul, realizing its helplessness, reaches out after Christ, he will reveal himself in power. The more our sense of need drives us to him and to the Word of God, the more exalted views we shall have of his character, and the more fully shall reflect his image. You know, the closer we come to Jesus, friends, the more faulty we're going to appear in our own sight. But she says that is a wonderful evidence that Satan's delusions, that our own self-deception is fading away, friends. We must ask the question, when shall we be satisfied? When do we reach a point in our life when we say, all right, that's enough self-examination. We are ready to meet Jesus. When can we be satisfied as Christians? The book of Psalms chapter 17 gives us the answer. In fact, let's go there. Psalm chapter 17, verse 15 gives us the answer. If someone would like to read that, Psalm chapter 17, 15 tells us, when shall we be satisfied?
Did you say Psalm 17:15?
That's right.
As for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness.
You know, those who are self-deceived, they are satisfied in their own condition. But friends, you know what? We will be satisfied when we awake in the likeness of Jesus. Isn't that right?
Amen.
You know, the first step, friends, is to examine ourselves by looking to the law of God, by praying and asking God to show us our faults. But then we need to look not to our faults alone, but we need to look to the lovely Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that next step is to look to the lovely Jesus. You know, Jesus knows that it is necessary that we see our own sins so that we can make earnest effort to seek him and to overcome. But praise the Lord that he does not leave us in our sins. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. To face that investigative judgment is a fearful thing, but we need not be afraid. where the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, while Jesus is interceding for us, shall we seek for purity of heart. Now, brothers and sisters, is the time to gain the experience necessary. Now is the time to pray and examine ourselves and seek Jesus' face. You know, the good news is that the Holy Spirit will never show you any sin without giving you the power to overcome that sin. The Holy Spirit, God, Jesus himself, will never show you any sin without giving you the promise of victory through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let no one despair of gaining the victory. Victory is sure when self is surrendered to God. Let us not forget that Jesus is coming to rescue his own. He is coming quickly. Amen.
Amen.
You know, lastly, I want to close with a beautiful picture, friends. And it's from the book Early Writings, page 15. And she's talking about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Early Writings, page 15. She says, soon our eyes were drawn to the east, for a small black cloud had appeared, about half as large as a man's hand, which we all knew was the sign of the Son of Man. We all in solemn silence gazed on the cloud as it drew nearer and became lighter, glorious, and still more glorious, till it was a great white cloud. The bottom appeared like fire. A rainbow was over the cloud, while around it were 10,000 angels, singing a most lovely song. And upon it sat the Son of Man. His hair was white and curly, and lay on his shoulders. And upon his head were many crowns. His feet had the appearance of fire, and his right hand was a sharp sickle, and his left a silver trumpet. His eyes were as a flame of fire, which searched his children through and through. Then all faces gathered paleness, and those whom God had rejected gathered blackness. Then we all cried out, who shall be able to stand? Is my robe spotless? Then the angel ceased to sing, and there was some time of awful silence. When Jesus spoke, those who have clean hands and pure hearts shall be able to stand. My grace is sufficient for you. At this time, our faces lighted up, and joy filled our every heart. And the angel struck a note higher and sang again, while the cloud drew nearer, still nearer the earth. Then Jesus' silver trumpet sounded, as he descended on the cloud, wrapped in flames of fire. He gazed on the graves of the sleeping saints, then raised his eyes and hands to heaven and cried, awake, 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 ye that sleep in the dust, and arise. Then there was a mighty earthquake. The graves were opened, and the dead came up clothed with immortality. The 144,000 shouted, Alleluia, as they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death. And in the same moment we were changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, brothers and sisters, God's grace is sufficient for you. His sacrifice is able to blot out all your sins, even the darkest ones. Indeed, Jesus is coming soon to rescue his own. But brothers and sisters, we need to put away sin and be ready for his soon coming. That is only by his grace that we may be saved, through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let us today seek him. Let us seek to have purity of heart. Let us today be ready for his soon coming. We can be ready through the sacrifice of Jesus. Is it your will to examine yourselves on a daily basis, brothers and sisters, to seek the Lord's face, to turn from our wicked ways, and to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? I assure you, brothers and sisters, Jesus' grace is sufficient for you. If it is your will to be like Jesus, to have the mind of Christ, then I encourage you to bow your heads as we close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what a wonderful picture that you are coming and you are coming soon to rescue your arm. And Lord, we praise you that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord, that you can keep us from falling and that you can present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. Lord, we look forward to that exceedingly joyful day when we see you in the clouds of glory. Please, Lord, help us to be ready. Please, Father, may we not be self-deceived. Lord, may we look to your perfect law of liberty and rejoice as we see you cleansing us more and more each day. Please, Lord, may we seek your face. May we afflict our souls and be ready. May we perform that task, that fearful task of self-examination. But Lord, when we see our sins, may we run to our Savior. And may you cleanse us of all these sins in our lifetime, Lord. You claim to give us the victory. You will give us the victory by your precious promises. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and blessing us so much. Please, Lord, be with every soul within the sound of my voice. Transform us, and may, Lord, we be ready for your soon coming. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.